Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Things I could say about you, girl. I could say that I
brought you into this motherfucker in the first place. And when I say motherfucker, I do mean motherfucker. Because Mother Earth is dying, and we continue to fuck her to death. Play with your own squishy. Become the master of your own bation. And yes, God is watching you. But no need to be embarrassed. For the future is in your hands. No, the future is in your hand. Play with your own squishy.
Love and harmony to all of you wonderful deep divers of planet Earth. How are you feeling today? Let's breathe. Let's master our emotions, deep divers. Let's go. Woo! Breathing, getting that good ass prana, baby. Raising the frequency. What are we doing? Raising the vibration. Now, someone sent me a long ass beautiful message. They're like, Ralph, I love your videos. I watch them every single day. Can you please make a video on how to master your emotions before they master you? Can you please make a video on how to train your mind, Ralph, to become stronger than your emotions? Absolutely. We got a whole lot to talk about. Infinite waters, diving deep once again. Beautiful deep divers. We are out here in the wonderful Nature Art Gallery. I'm FaceTiming you right now. If you are watching this video, I'm sprinkling that good ass energy on you right now, deep divers. Right now, take it. Take all of it. Step by step, you are going to get through it. Whatever's weighing you down right now, it's not going to defeat you. Because after this video, you're going to have all the tools you need to master whatever comes your way. Slow motion this life. Now, deep divers, I want everybody to hit that like button. Let's share this video with a friend, a family member, even a cat down the road, because this is a very important video. You see, when we talk of mastering your emotions, it's not that easy. The reason why is because...
Introducing Discover Online Privacy Protection.
It's a day-by-day effort. And sometimes you might think you've mastered your emotions, and then all of a sudden, your emotions devour you. Your emotions overpower you. Your emotions get the best of you. And you're like, oh my gosh, I thought I was a master of my emotions. No, you're not. We got a whole lot to talk about. We ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello? So let me tell you this, deep divers. A lot of people say, Ralph, you're so calm, so composed. But there's another side to me. I know Kung Fu, deep divers. I don't want to whoop your ass right now. Don't make me do that, deep divers. I've learned, okay? I've learned how to master my emotions over the years. And I want to share with you this powerful formula that's really saved my life, right? It's all about mastering your emotions before they master you. It's all about training your mind to become stronger than your emotions, right? Because we're living in a world right now, crazy-ass world, right, where sometimes someone can say something to you, and all of a sudden, you get so angry, and you want to kill them. That's not good, right? But it can happen like that. So many people lose their lives over silly arguments. So many people stop talking to each other because of one disagreement. And I always say this, do not allow temporary feelings to become a permanent resting place in your mind. Because we can change, we can get through it. All we have to do is master our emotions, deep divers. Are you ready? Right? So let me give you five powerful ways to master your emotions before they master you. Let me share with you how to train your mind, this beautiful mind, to become stronger than your emotions. First and foremost, your emotions are the energy in motion, right? That's what emotion means, energy in motion. And because, like the great Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. We are being controlled, manipulated by energy, frequency, and vibration. And this is the reason why sometimes you wake up feeling sad, because from every single angle, someone is messing with your energy. Sometimes you're just walking around the city and someone has a bad attitude, and that affects your emotion because everything is energy. So that's why it's so essential, paramount, to learn how to master your emotions before they master you. First way, deep dive to your emotions before they master you, is to heal unresolved issues. Heal your unresolved issues. That's what helped me along my journey. As a psychologist, as someone who's been diving deep, I had to heal my unresolved issues. And it all goes back to your childhood, right? Because a lot of us, we are dealing with trauma. In fact, I would go so far as to say every human being is traumatized. And until you heal those unresolved issues, your emotions are always going to get the best of you. They're going to rule you, right? So how do we start healing these unresolved issues? It's really simple. What we want to do is hug our inner child. Hug your inner child right now, deep diver. Say, I forgive you. I love you. We've got to love our inner child to say, hey, whatever happened 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago, it's okay. And when you have this great relationship to your inner child, you start healing your unresolved issues. Also, the inner dialogue people have, you want to make sure you're not trash-talking yourself. You want to make sure you're loving yourself for everything you are. You're loving yourself for everything that you are instead of hating yourself for everything that you are not. Because once this inner dialogue stops and you make peace with yourself, like peace with yourself, you start to heal these unresolved issues. And that's the first step to mastering your emotions. Because a lot of our emotions aren't even coming from the present moment. They're coming from past memories. Mm.
master your emotions before they master you. Train your mind to become stronger than your emotions. Stop reacting. I know they stepped on your foot. Ouch. I know you're really mad right now. You want to pull out your hair so bad right now. But if you learn to stop reacting, everything will change. You will begin to become Yoda. Just like that, just like that. And how we do this is to say, okay, right now I'm pissed off. That's okay. But instead of just reacting, I'm gonna take a real big deep breath, just like this. You feel so calm, don't you? What happened to like 5 seconds ago when you wanted to punch their lights out? All of a sudden you want to say, it's okay.
Sorry about the ads, y'all. Y'all know how it is. Royalty. You're talking about
the high ground, right? So instead of reacting, learn how to respond. And how we respond is to say, okay, is this a wise action to take? So you want to develop an inner calm by really breathing deep before you do something really stupid and reminding yourself that how you respond to a situation literally has the power to change the entire situation itself. Okay, and that's how you begin to learn how to master your emotions before they master you. Right? Third powerful way to master your emotions before they master you, stop suppressing your emotions. Like, I meet so many people who hide how they feel, but you see, it's always going to come out. You're going to take it out on someone. A lot of people have a lot of inner anger. Go to anger management. You see, invest in what can heal you. Invest in what can heal you. If you have anger issues, get some help. If you're always easily irritated, remind yourself to express yourself every single day until we get to the bottom of what's really making you mad. Because a lot of people, they suppress how they really feel. And one day it comes out at the most unexpected time and everyone's like, oh my gosh, right? You even shock yourself. But to master your emotions, before they master you, you must know thyself. You must say, okay, I've got to work on myself. I've got to work on my emotions. I've got to remind myself, yes, it's okay to feel any emotion I'm going through, but I'm not going to allow my emotions to get the best of me. And we do this by every day expressing how we feel. Get a feeling journal, a feeling diary. Write down how you're feeling. Because if you can learn how to express how you feel every single day fully, like I do it all the time with these videos. And that's the reason why I'm mastering my emotions, because I'm expressing my emotions. Right? The fourth powerful way to master your emotions before they master you. Ground yourself, right? Sometimes we get carried away with the wind. We get blown over here, blown over there. And part of mastering your emotions is all about grounding yourself. Right now, I'm barefoot on the floor. It's beautiful, on the ground. When you learn how to ground yourself, go to nature, come to beautiful, environments like this, you're grounding yourself. And this is how you begin to learn how to master your emotions before they master you. If you're always around polluted cities, people smoking in front of you, cars beeping, noisy environments, it's very hard to find a calm center. And that's what we need to really master our emotions before they master us. The fifth powerful way, deep divers, to master your emotions before they master you is to get a bigger perspective. Once again, perspective is everything. in mastering your emotions before they master you. So let me give you an example. Two people have an argument.
Yeah.
And one is kind of hurt and is feeling the kind of way. And they don't want to make peace. They want to make war. So they go across to the other person and beat them up. Was that necessary? No. But it happened. And this happens every single day because people's emotions control them. You see, what this person should have done is to say, let me get a bigger perspective. Instead of using my fist, let me use my mouth. And also, let me realize that we were only arguing over a sports game. It's really not that serious. And that's what perspective is. It's seeing things from a bird's eye view. And this is how you become Yoda. You become incredibly wise. You begin to master your emotions before they master you. And, well, then you just say, hey, it's so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello? Beautiful deep dive of the planet Earth. Make sure you hit that like button.
Bluetooth.
Hit that like button, deep dive. Share this video with a friend, a family member.
Bluetooth connection.
Woo! Breathing in that good.
Prana baby. Go and check out that new book, Deep Divers, for more powerful, life-changing information just like this. Feel Alive by Ralph Smart on Amazon and at ralphsmart.com/the book. The Bible of Becoming Your Greatest Version. Also, go and get the Good Ass Prana shirts at ralphsmart.com/clothes and spreadshirt.com if you're in America. And if you're a sexy ass model, woo, with a whole lot of heart, you want to model the clothing, well, go and buy some. Master your emotions before they master you, deep divers, and learn how to train your mind to become stronger than your emotions. I love all of you. Peace. Infinite waters diving deep once again. Stay well. Stay healthy. Peace. You. Hit that like button, deep divers. Share this video. Leave a comment down below of gratitude and appreciation, and let me know how this video resonated with you. One love, one love, one love.
Take a look over your shoulder. Why'd words get much older? Life has a way of humbling you down. Thought you already knew it. Took a turn, then you blew it. Life has a way of humbling you down. Oh, I think I already know everything. So I think there ain't room to grow. As I stare at the ceiling in an abandoned building, life had a way of knocking me around. And my children still look up to me while the sun makes on me.
All right. Royalty to everybody.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Royalty again to everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in to another podcast of Henson Awareness Radio. I'm your host for Rudy Seven Oracles. Most know me also as Keith and Boyd. And today, guys, I just wanted to chill back, you know, on Spiritual Soul Sunday. And I wanted to kind of examine emotions, right? Emotions can be kind of tricky. You know what I mean? A lot of us play like we don't like to feel. But isn't being resistant to emotions, doesn't that amplify it subconsciously? I mean, really, just examine it. Doesn't it amplify it subconsciously? You know, we say that we don't care, but if we really didn't care, would we even be bringing it up? You know what I mean? So, in examining my own personal emotions, it's only 10% of what happens, yet 90% and how we react to it, right? That's something that I live by, you guys. Again, life is only 10% of what happens, yet 90% and how we react to it. So I've been tested a lot in how I react to certain emotions, you know, and I do not pass all my tests. I will let the world know. You know what I mean? But if we were honest about it and start to examine our emotions, a lot of the things that we project and a lot of things that we say that we don't care about or we attempt to suppress, I feel is a lie. I'm just talking about my goddamn self, right? So that was Ralph Smart, you know, opening up. And I'm going to put a helpful article in the show notes, you guys, for you to, you know, enhancing your awareness radio is not only about giving you shit. It's about you learning and doing your own research. So I kind of illustrate a story. I kind of paint a picture, you know, and I kind of drive the vehicle a little bit. You know what I mean? But it will be up to you. I don't like to say but because I was taught early on, too, that everything before the but is bullshit. Although, and yet, right, you have to do your own self-examination and your own self-research. You know what I mean? So Infinite Waters on YouTube, guys. So look him up, Infinite Waters on YouTube. Go subscribe to his channel. Hit that like, all that good stuff. Black Magic 363, go to YouTube. I'm going to put the YouTube link in the show notes, guys. So I'm going to put the references in the show notes. If I do not, please utilize my verbiage in which you can go to find my sources, right? So emotions, there's a powerful article. And this is I'm revamping. Most of you guys know, again, this season is back to the basics. So I'm kind of pulling shit out the my little rabbit hat. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be coming up. I'm gonna be doing I'm gonna use my real name because Keithan's favorite quotes, because there's a quote book that I kept with me for like 2 or 3 years, and it was like my lifeline for things. So I'm gonna bring that out. But back to the basics, I'm excited about this season, guys. If you wanna go back in the archives, go back and listen to all the shows in the archives. We have a lot of teaching segments and there's a lot of shit in the archives, guys, for you to go back and research and do your own research, you know. And don't believe me, do your research. Shout out to CG Portolo. So, yeah, let's go ahead and get – I pulled this article out of my hat, right? I went in my head and found this article. It took me 2 days to find it. Not an article, excuse me. I'm not going to read the article. I'm going to put the article in the show notes for you to read and dissect on your own, because it's like 20 pages, you guys. And I can read it on the show, but I don't know if I'll get it in one segment because I'm going to have to talk throughout the article and everything. I don't normally get short articles. So, anyhow.
It's an hour long. You guys know I'll be back to close out. But, yeah, let's start to examine emotions today, guys. Hope you guys are doing well. Well, not hope. Y'all know that you are doing well, and your best is always good enough, right? All right, guys. I'll be back.
Peace, family. Welcome to another episode of Underground Railroad Productions, Underground Railroad Radio. I am your host, Brother Rich. I'm back. Second time on the show. Minister Jew, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Rich? How you feel?
Everything is absolutely perfect, Minister Jew. Absolutely perfect. And I'm trying to stay on that frequency right now. I'm glad to have you. You know, the particular subject we deal with, like I said the first time, you know, is close to my heart, and we're dealing with a heart subject today. We're dealing with the power. I want to talk to you about this power, the power of emotions and feelings. And the reason why I wanted to talk about that is because emotions and feelings are key elements when it comes to manifesting your reality or manipulating this hologram we call, you know, dimension or space-time reality or whatever word you have for it. It's a very key ingredient. But you know what, Minister Jew? It's got a bad reputation. And that's what I want to start off by talking to you about. Anytime you talk to anybody about emotions, you know, let me just speak from my personal experience, since everything is subjective. My personal experience coming up learning what I had to learn, emotions always got a bad reputation, like, oh, you got to suppress emotions, oh, you can't be emotional, oh, you can't show emotions. They always said how emotions were low vibration. When you become emotional, it's a real low vibration. Then when I did more and more research and study, I see how important it is, and I'm like, well, man, why do people think so bad of somebody who might be emotional? So why do you think emotions and feelings, before we really get into it, why does it have such a bad reputation if you're an emotional person?
Oh, man, that's a great question. in society, certain way has implemented that amongst the people, man, especially for men.
Right.
It's always been man shouldn't show his emotions and yada, yada, yada. But I think on a deeper level, outside of, some of the outer influences, shall we say, I think subjectively, I think we're all aware that we're God on some level, whether it be to the most grandiose scale or down to the most minute level of that, of your being awake to that level. And I think that because we're not using our emotions constructively to build the reality that we want, right, then something inside of us is almost like, well, no, don't use them. Don't use them, because you don't know the power and the potential that it has. So it's almost like a safety valve, I would kind of say, like, because we're so used to seeing so many negative things that we express these things in a negative light. You know, we're always feeling bad. We're always seeing bad news. People always make references to what they would rather not have versus what they would have. So it's like this switch that's in the inside of us that's like, listen, you don't know that these are the things that are going to propel good or bad into your reality. So how about we just freeze that? You know what I mean? That's what I think is going on internally. But tonight I kind of want to discuss how we don't have to walk that path anymore and actually use these feelings and emotions regularly to create the objective circumstances of our lives.
I think that was an excellent, when you said we use it we look at it as a safety valve. I think you're definitely right about that. Sort of a better to be safe than sorry kind of mechanism, since we don't know how to use it. Because you're right, whenever we do hear the word emotional, you hear about a man shooting up the bank out of rage, or, you know, somebody killing somebody out of rage, so is somebody doing something out of rage. So you're absolutely right. When we talk about emotions, that's often the first thing that comes to a person's mind. What's the difference, Minister June, between feelings and emotions?
From my perspective, I think it's just wordplay. You feel, you know what I mean, and that causes you to emote. It's a simultaneous two-step. They're entangled together in the language of the quantum. They're entangled together. You can't have one without the other. And I think that primarily it's just a play on words. And that those two things are connected at the hip. And the emotive part is what gets you to express how you feel. You know what I mean? That's generally what you are, what you the world, how somebody else is viewing exactly what it is that you're displaying for them to see what your temperament is. But
is
the most sincere, the realest aspect of what's going on in your being at the deepest level of who you are. And a lot of times, what tends to happen is, I mean, you see it all the time. People say certain things, and then other people respond based off how they feel, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what that person said or that's how the message was relayed. So somewhere deep down in who we are and what we are, we're contextualizing based upon our own experiences, things that have happened before, things that we've seen happen to other people, generate a feeling based upon our own perception of what we think somebody's trying to express to us. So that's the deeper level of what we are, the feeling aspect.
You hear somebody say, you know, you got to trust your gut instinct. Is that a word, for lack of better words, they're saying trust your heart or trust that inner feeling?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. It's roll with your instinct. It's interesting that you say that, because it's a brain part called the amygdala that actually deals with these types of temperaments, you know. And this particular brain part sometimes, they say it's so easily stimulated, right? It takes the least amount of electricity to stimulate this particular brain part, that they say sometimes people don't even stop to think when they make a reaction or they're responding to something. And a lot of times that is because, you know, you're always dealing with this fight or flight, and sometimes you need to be able to make a decision without really processing the data from the instinctual part of yourself, you know, to survive or to keep it moving or to make the best decision in the moment. So absolutely going with your gut is just like, you know what, this is what just feels right to me, so I'm going to make this decision based on that particular leader.
So would you say it's safe to say that we need to start thinking with our heart and less with our brain?
I think what needs to happen is we have to use both, because they go together simultaneously, just like emotions and feelings do. You can't have this reality without the imagery that you're going to generate from your mind and your brain, the faculties and the structures that actually operate in the brain, and the feeling component coming from your heart saying, you know, I'm sincere about what it is that I'm seeing in my mind. I really have the passion to propel this idea to where it needs to go. Then you're not going to see it show up in your objective reality as a complete image. You can't have one without the other.
Now, science has been able to detect that the heart communicates information to the brain
throughout the body do electromagnetic field interactions, just like you said. And that we also have figured out that the heart generates the body's most powerful, inexpensive rhythmic electromagnetic field. Compared to the brain, the electrical heart field is about 60 times greater in amplitude and about 5,000 times stronger. Its magnetic ability component is about 5,000 times stronger than the brain's magnetic field, and that it can be detected real far away from the body when they use, you know, these, what do you call it, magnetometers or magnetometers, those types of ones, they can detect it. So they have these satellites. It's an acronym, G-O-E-S satellites. I forget what it stands for. You can just type in G.O.E.S satellites. That's set up around the, you know, the country and the planet. And they're constantly measuring the magnetic field of the planet. And they found out around September 11, which is probably one of the most, you know, in the last 50, 60, 70 years, one of the most memorable days in this country because of what happened. And people from all over the country and the world experiencing something, they find out that particularly on that day, about 60 minutes after the World Trade Center got hit, they found that the magnetic field of the country was affected tremendously, and they were wondering why there was these dips in it and these spikes and everything. And they figured out that the electromagnetic energy from the people were changing the Earth's, I mean, the magnetic field of that region. So with that being said, if we have the ability to change the magnetic field and alter reality just through our emotion, you sent me a picture of the Mike Brown vigil. That leads to that. How do events like, in particular, I'm focusing on the Black community, when we go through on a day-to-day basis, what we've been seeing this year in particular, what do events like Mike Brown, Eric Garner, and these events that we've seen happening, how do you think it's do you think we're emitting the right emotions, or are we causing more of the same thing to happen because of the anger that we're emitting or the rage that we're emitting? What's your take on our emotional response to these particular events?
Well, that's a two-part question, man, and I'm going to answer the best I can. First of all, when you generate these feelings or these emotions, right, in your field, in your body, they can be used to propagate whatever you want them to propagate with selective intent, and that's key. Now, if we don't recognize how to tune in, right? Because remember, in the quantum world, there's unlimited possibilities and probabilities, right? So inside of that, if we know that, then we can choose, if it's collective enough, we can choose how we're going to take that magnetic energy that we are generating from our hearts into this quantum field and decide what event we want to see take place on this planet. Now, in the Mike Brown case, it's interesting. You saw on his tombstone, it read, Star Power Prayer. That's what it reads on the tombstone. Okay? Now, I interviewed his cousin, Joanna, about a week after down there. And I asked her, I said, do you know who left the tombstone there? She said, no. I asked around, and nobody knows who put that there. Well, Rich, those type of moments in history, if we're specifically dealing with the sector of people called Black people, right, who are looking for a response on how to deal with these particular situations, when you understand that collectively, when you have these heightened levels of emotion, if everybody is on the same pitch and they go in at the same time, it's a phenomenon that happens, Mitch, where when multiple electrons, right, it's a heart of particles, when they get stimulated at the same time, and out of the law of force particles, let's just say it's 200 of us who are in the same group, who are seeing the same thing with this whole white brown thing, and we decide to take that controlled level of emotion, whether it be anger or whatever it is, if we decide that we're going to tune in and drive that current, we can make events happen on this planet. But you have to be very specific about what you go into that wave and pull out. So when electrons get stimulated, there's 200 of us who are acting as electrons in this world, as human beings. When we stimulate through that emotion, you create something called lasers, right? When electrons get hot together in the same location, vibrating to the same pitch, they create what you and I know as science calls lasers. And lasers can be used as targets. So without me going into too much detail on air, when these type of events happen, you can use that controlled level of emotion and feeling in order to generate circumstances in the objective world. Once you tune in into that type of reality.
That's some deep stuff there. It's a whole other approach to dealing with these situations instead of being reactionary, I guess.
And I want to say this too. I'm not talking from theory. I'm talking from practice. Like, you know, this has been demonstrated time and time again. We've been going on for about 2 years on this particular phenomenon. And I'm going to go on the record and say the ancestors of our people are facilitating some of these events in order for you to get riled up emotionally, but you keep on discharging your energy in an inappropriate manner because you don't understand the quantum world. It's not going to come through any other medium. You're going to have to tap into the unknown side to create events in this reality. And I'll give you an example. It was a case in China in this medical hospital that deals with nothing but organic healing. And it was a lady who was in the hospital bed, and she had a tumor, some type of cancer, if I'm not mistaken. And this hospital deals with none of the drugs or anything that actual hospitals in the West deal with. And what they did was they surrounded this woman. She believed, and let me say it again, the people got a hard time with that word believe, right, because everybody is so after Monday these days, right? She believed that it would work. And I talked about this before in the last show, that it was the placebo effect. So you can throw cat as little stones as you want to as belief. But science has proven that belief can alter events in the physical body. Just from believing a certain thing is going to happen. This woman was surrounded by these doctors who she believed, right, was going to be able to get rid of this tumor. These doctors surrounded her, began chanting these things. This is documented. You can actually do this and read about it. They began chanting these words that suggested in their subconscious mind over and over again that she was already healed. Even though she was sitting there and the tumor was still visible, in their mind's eye, they tapped into the quantum field and said, "We feel as if she's already healed." And they chanted there over and over and over again, and you can see this tumor dissolving inside of this woman's body as they continue to chant deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's some science behind the language and whatnot, but I just wanted to use that as an example to show people that what happens when people come together collectively, but there was a room full of doctors, 3 or 4 doctors around this woman, and they performed what medical science would literally call a miracle.
imagine what you can do in the thousands tapping into that same quantum reality, making things show up and disappear in this reality. Okay, so this is where there's a sort of a...
Sorry about the ads, dog.
I need you to
spend
some more time to pass on this
ring
because, you know.
You mentioned that. This is where there's sort of a discrepancy. You know, we just, I guess we left the era of all these organizations and, you know, because of the internet, I guess people are leaving certain organizations and just, you know, doing the research for themselves. But, you know, we've been here forever. The organizations, these quote-unquote master teachers, the power of words, the power of mantras, the power of saying, don't pray to this God, don't pray to this God. Pray, you have to say this God this way. You have to say this word 300 times in one given day, and magic will occur for you. So this is the scenario I want to present you with. And you're saying that, you're talking about feeling and belief. Now, if you have a scenario, and before I finish, we're learning that the universe communicates to us through feelings via electromagnetic energy. So with that being said, if you have two brothers that say in a prayer to the God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, infinite source, the source, there's many different names. One God prays to God and calls the God Osiris and reads the and says the prayer in the ancient Mesunetur, the ancient language of the Kemites. The other brother says the prayer in English. And he's praying to Jesus. And you have a sect of people saying Jesus never existed. And matter of fact, let me throw this on here while I'm saying it. Matter of fact, he's looking at a white Jesus while he's praying. So the brother's looking at a white Jesus while he's praying. The other brother's saying the prayer in a Mesunetur, with through the ancient language. Who does the universe hear? Does it matter the words that they use, or is it the feeling emoted, emitted through that prayer? If that brother praying to that white Jesus, and he believes strong enough in that white Jesus who may have never existed, does the universe still hear his prayer, or does the universe say you're not using the correct word and the picture is inappropriate, so I can't communicate back to you? Or does the universe feel his feel?
The universe doesn't care about the picture.
So we care about the picture and we care about the words then.
Absolutely. Now I'm gonna say this too though. I'm glad you said that. The deal is this. The feeling amplifies words from the idea or from the mind. That is what's going to bring it into manifestation. It's like when you're dealing with feeling, right? You're dealing with the element of water, right? The way you think emotions, you think the element of water, you think the moon, because you know, we study this. Science of astrology too. So when you think about all these things, right, and you look at, because I'm going to show you how the feeling is the grounding agent. And when I say the grounding agent, I mean the buck stops at the feeling. That's what's going to get the response. When you look at water, right, because everything is synonymous with these laws of correspondence, right? When you look at the moment when a sexual act is about to take place, right, and you're dealing with a female reproductive organ, it becomes moist. There's moisture there. She's about to receive an idea from the man that you call his seed. She's about to receive this idea that's loaded with all of this data, all of this energy is already encoded into this seed. But there has to be an element of water there to receive the idea, right? Then at the moment where she's about to have a water bag break.
And so
with this civilizing way. Now that the water has broken, now the ultimate manifestation of that idea is now about to be brought out into the objective world. So, even when you look at water as it, when it rains and it's thunderstorming, water always looks to find the lowest place to rest. So it's always looking to find the lowest denominator. What is the final of finals that where things are being brought into this reality, right? So the feeling alone, the imagery is important, but that's part of the person's imagination that we talked about on the previous show. But we know that the imagination can create whatever it wants to. It is the feeling that is going to perpetuate and bring into this world whatever the imagery was, or quote-unquote the idea that was brought forth in manifestation from the user or from the creator itself. So it doesn't matter who you're going to pray to, which deity you want to use. And I don't want people to be mistaken, because I'm talking about a whole other level of manifesting and science. I'm not dealing with the, all the mind control stuff. I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking straight science. I'm not talking about all of the chains and the old blocks and all that other stuff. That ain't what I'm here to discuss. I like to talk about taking people to the next plateau so that they can realize themselves as God down here and be able to create whatever it is that they want to create using these tools. So, that's really not, it's primarily how do you feel about it? How strongly your conviction is that in what you're seeing in your mind's eye is going to predicate whether or not it's brought into this reality or not.
I think that's, you answered that excellently, and I guess it's kind of sort of saying on a microscopic level, like when you have the woman waiting for that man's seed, I guess the feminine aspect will be the feeling, and the seed that it's waiting for is the thought. The thought even produces the child, which is physical reality. So you have mother, you have father, I mean mother and father, mother feeling, father thought, child reality. it's some deep stuff, brother. I want to ask you about this, one of the bestsellers on the New York Times bestseller list, Power Up Now. Some people understand it, some people don't. Some people have been talking a lot about the power of now. And thinking, staying in the present and not thinking about the future or not thinking about the past or worrying about the future. What does the power of now mean to minister to you?
Well, I think the power of now is
you bring it up, Minister Drew.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think if it's about the power of now, it's simply stating,
Wait. You're breaking up again, brother. You're breaking up again.
Can you hear me better now?
A little better, not like how it was in the beginning, though.
Okay, maybe I have to
stay. Perfect now. You're perfect now.
Okay, better now?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the power of now is basically saying that you need to be in the moment, at the moment. It's kind of sort of like the same in the scriptures where it says, being still and knowing that I'm God. I think that phrase in and of itself is where you collect yourself in that moment to figure out what it is that you want to do moving forward. I always think that as creators, right, we have to be proactive and be able to see what it is that we want to pull into this reality or attract to ourselves. You know what I mean? So I hear that dialogue from my experience based upon the things that I've been able to do in my life using this science that I talked about, it works better for me when I'm able to constantly be very specific about what it is that I want and start going in on these practices in order to draw it closer to me. So I hear that
so we are the money. But yeah, I guess you know what I'm saying. You know, the dollar bills that everybody's trying to acquire. You know, some people say that to manifest money, sometimes, you know, everybody wants to manifest money. There's schools of thought that in order to manifest money, sometimes you don't have to think about money. You have to think about, you could think about freedom, the emotion of freedom. When somebody thinks about freedom, they're thinking about just doing whatever they want, being free, moving. They may think about flying. They may think about just being worry-free. But what this school of thought is saying is, in order, if you want to manifest something, they're saying think about the emotion that something creates, because that something is a circumstance. Emotions create circumstances. So if you want to manifest money, think about freedom and peace. If you just, and you know, and it's kind of like that person said, yeah, I gotta think about money. That's what I'm thinking about freedom and peace for. They're saying you can simply meditate, go to the park, look at waterfall and experience the peacefulness, because when you get money, what it does sometimes to people is it alleviates stress, and they don't have to worry. So they feel a little freer. They can pay bills. Maybe they can take their wife out to dinner. Maybe they can take their kids somewhere. Maybe they can go on a trip to Egypt with Aswar Crazy. So when some people get these finances, it alleviates certain stress in their life, and they're able to free, less constrained, and they're able to maneuver and move around better. So this school of thought is saying it's okay to think about the money, but you can also think about the emotion of freedom and peace, and that will equate to money coming into your life. What do you think about that school of thought?
Well, you have to put yourself in a position where you're living as if the wish is already fulfilled.
Right, right.
That's the state. That is the state in order to wish to manifest. Now, you answered the question. All of those things, those are the things that you need to have in your awareness, right? When you're trying to manifest these dollars into your life, you have to see what things would I benefit from? What else would I be able to do with my time if I had more freedom? If I didn't have to go hit the clock? If I didn't have to do whatever? You know what I mean? If I was circulating finances in and out of my circle. You know what I'm saying? So you have to start thinking about and being very specific about things that you want out of life. And like I said, not just thinking about the actual dollar amount, even though I've seen that happen. So you think it was a show, I think it was in 97, Jim Carrey came on the Oprah show at the time. And he was talking about the rules and the laws of visualization. And at that time, Oprah wasn't on no game like this. She wasn't into the talk and things. She wasn't really on it like that. And he came on, he was like, nobody really was checking out my fears. Nobody really thought I was really good. So I decided to make it a check out to myself for $10 million and sit on the check for acting services rendered. And he said he would put it in his pocket, and he said he used to ride around out in California and look at these homes and stuff that he would like to live in, even though he couldn't afford it. He said he would do it every day. And he said, on the check, he made it out for 3 years in advance for $10 million for acting services vendor. You should know 3 years to the week, because he made it out for Thanksgiving, 3 years in the future, had to go for paycheck. 3 years later, Jim Carrey got his break for the movie Dumb and Dumber, and they paid him $10 million to do that.
Wow.
So, and I want to give another example. So, I'm not saying that you cannot think about the money. You need to think about what it is that you can do and what it is that you want with the money, like going around looking at those homes. That was something that their $10 million could go for. You know what I mean? You have to think about what are you going
You get a phone call from somebody. It's going to be an unexpected source that walks into your life and reminds you. You have to be repetitious with this thing over and over and over again because the mind and the subconscious mind is acting like the developing brain in your own mind. You have to consistently drop this image down into this solution over and over and over again. The image that you're looking for, but it is a science, man, and once you understand it, you can utilize it in many ways, man. So I think, yes, you can think about the money, but it's better to be very, very specific about what you can use it for, because you can gain more feeling from that just in thinking about the money. You know, if you see your family in a home and they're secure, you know what I mean? You can gain a deeper feeling of sincerity and appreciation for that versus just thinking about the physical money. It generally can help generate and elevate yourself, you know?
Right. I agree. I think it's important for a person to find out what generates that feeling for them. That's the beautiful thing about being intuitive and having a connection with that source of that. You know, everybody's different, so we all know what generates that feeling if we're honest with ourselves, you know. So I guess everybody has to find what generates that feeling. That's another beautiful thing about this era we're living in, where, you know, we're getting we have a better relationship with our higher self, a more intuitive relationship with our higher self, opposed to going to the master teacher all the time. Because what works for the master teacher may not work for you. So I think it's important everybody finds out what works for them. But I'll touch on a topic that a lot of people go to Minister Jew once seen. You know, and like you said, we're dealing with science here, Minister Jew. We're not dealing with philosophy or, you know, religion or, you know, something to make you, something dogmatic. This is like, it is what it is. We're dealing with frequency, resonance. You know, these terms that we're using. Minister Jew, there's situations that occur. A person raises their frequency to a certain level. They're feeling good. They're feeling great, Minister Jew. They feel like they're on top of the world, Minister Jew. Now, somebody in their life, in their circle, family, friends, it could be a wife, it could be a husband, it could be whoever. They experience hurt. They're experiencing pain. They're experiencing discomfort. They come to you with it. Now, the person that's going to talk to the world wants to give a lending hand, but they don't want to get too much of a lending hand because they may drop down to the frequency of the person they're helping. So they say, oh, man, I want to be compassionate for this person, but I've been this person on the phone for 2 hours telling me about all their trauma, all their problems. I feel bad now, and I just felt like, motherfucking Superman an hour ago. Now I feel horrible. This dude or this woman just told me 15 different bad stories. So people are trying to find the lane where you could, you know, you could be compassionate for your fellow being without getting caught in that frequency, or without lowering your frequency to the extent where you go from feeling like Superman or Superwoman to just feeling down and out. So where's the line? Where's the thin line between helping somebody and not hurting yourself?
Well, I never want to tell a person to be insensitive to somebody who they care about. However, there is a line that you draw when you see yourself being pulled into that energy vortex. Now, this science that we're talking about can be applied not only to for money, it can be applied to health and any other aspect that we want to apply it to. Me and Ampoo, we do it all the time, and you should see how it actually works. When you pray for somebody.
At Texas Health, more of the business. We provide more access to care, so you
can... And here's the science. If you're not aware of reality, then it doesn't doesn't apply the same. It's just like, you know, if somebody doesn't know how to work a microwave, they're not going to be able to use it. You know, even though they got all these buttons are there, I can come in and be able to facilitate this thing with no problem because I understand the function. You have to understand the function of the thing before you can pick up the tool to be able to use it. You might get some results haphazardly just because, you know, that's just the nature of the device that you're using. But in order to really be able to be a pro and to master it, you must understand the function and the dynamic of how a thing operates. So saying that, because that's the level I'm speaking from, you can use this science to lift that person up just by doing the visualization that they are in such a state. That's how you help your friend. That's how you help your friend. To bring them up in that state. And before you know it, the next day they'll be calling so much, you know what, I feel better. Because I'm going to tell you something. The man whose imagination is alive, and I mean alive, and know that it is God, other people in their circumference, not just their immediate circumference, depending on your magnetism, this thing can stretch out from city to city. I've seen it. And maybe when we get an opportunity, maybe we can build it, and then I can come on and share with people. But people whose imagination are not at the level or the pitch to understand that they are the creators of their world become subject to the one who does know that. So that's why I say you have to use this thing wisely and always have love first in your heart, because you wouldn't want to use it in a negative way unless you, like I said in the first show, are using it to defend yourself. But in the case with your friends, lift them up in your mind, right? I was reading a study on prayer, right? And this benefits the user too who's doing it. They took this individual, these people, and said, listen, group A, we want you to pray for the people in group B. The people in group B, which they didn't even know how these people looked. They didn't even know these people's names. It was just a control group. When they did the prayer for these people, there was no result. Group B still remained in the same condition in the hospital. Well, they decided, let's take group A to go meet the people in the hospital, group B, and they saw these people, they got names of these people, but the people in group B who were getting prayed for didn't know these people were praying for them. You know, when they went back and actually did the prayer with the people in mind, now because they had an image of the individual and a name attached to the individual, they saw dramatic changes in temperament and also physical ailment increase in the patients who had been praying for. And the people who were doing the prayer, their moods increased because of the phenomenon. So when you understand that we're energetic beings, right, this becomes a two-way street in a mutual reception thing where we're able to exchange energy to one another. Even if one person is sending the energy, it operates as a reflecting agent and comes right back to you because you are the source, you see? Just like when you're talking to them and they're feeling bad, don't you get pulled down into that situation? Same thing. Same scenario.
So I guess that's how Christ filled people going through the quantum world.
Hey man, listen,
and not the objective world. The key is to always go to the subjective world, huh?
You have to always go to the subjective world. Until we map that out in our consciousness and go over and over and over again in that direction, we are going to keep running short. I want to, because we got time, I want to give people an example of how real this is, real quick, so people can see that this thing called the quantum, this space and time, this gap in between this thing depends upon the emotion of an individual. It's two situations. It's a current one and it's a whole one. I thought it was the whole one first. It was a book written by Morgan Roberson called Futility in 1898, right? He was a struggling author and looking to, you know, put a book out that would give him some acclaim to generate some revenue. In this book in 1898, he built this ship in the ship, and in this book called Utility, this big old cruise liner sinks in the North Atlantic. And the vessel ran into an iceberg. This is the way that it sank. It was 800 feet in length, and it was able to go 25 knots of speed. It was described as unsinkable. On the boat, in the book, it had a shortage of lifeboats. The capacity of the boat in the book was 3,000 people. It struck an iceberg on the way to, what do they call it, the Newfoundland, right, 460 miles away, right? And on this boat, half of the crew died. Who died on the boat. Well, 14 years later, now remember, this is a quote-unquote fiction book, right? 14 years later, a boat was built that sank, went across the Atlantic, sank on the Atlantic, ran into an iceberg with 882 feet in length, got to 22.5 knots, at speed, crashed in the month of April, could carry the capacity of 3,000 people, etc., etc. Everything was identical to this boat called the Titanic, Rich. In the book, Futility, that came out in 1898, the boat crashed in the month of April in the book. 14 years later, the same month, the exact same speed, the exact same passenger count, the exact same lift, all of these same things, it crashed into an iceberg, headed to the same place, and the same body of water, it sank. But here's the kicker. The real name of the boat we know in history today is the Titanic. The boat in the novel, Utility, in 1898, was called the Titanic. Wow. There's no fiction in the world. Imagination creates reality. This is what I'm trying to get over to people. So you got a group today who they're labeling as a terrorist organization, right, who is going by a certain name that represents another entity over here at Russell that used to go by the same name, right? But when you look into the ideology behind the group, you'll see that a lot of the emotionalism that was built on the group here is mirroring these people are doing abroad on a show-me scale, on an objective level. So we have to be very, very mindful about the power of our minds. And once we understand that we are the gods of this world, we learn that we create events from our thoughts and our ideas, merged with a certain level of emotional elevation, and then it's going to show up somewhere in the objective world. Now, our memories are so bad sometimes we can't remember when we stirred these things up, but it's going to show up. It's going to show up.
Well, I certainly like to thank you for coming on the program, Minister June. And, you know, we're going to continue with it. It was an amazing show. Let me ask you one more question before we wrap it up, Minister June, because I need to get this in there, and I want to see what you have to say about this. Something else that's on my list. I have a lot too, but I'm trying to figure out and I'm going to put the book on the screen when I'm showing it to you while I'm saying this. I think I mentioned the thing last program, never thought of it. I advise everybody who's listening to look into his work, Never Bothered. I mean, his book's absolutely amazing. But in one of his books, he says that you already are everything you want to be, and you're refusing to believe this is the only reason you do not see it. And several years ago, I was having a phone conversation with Bobby Hedden when I was,
getting more and more into this type of information in quantum physics. I was having a conversation with Bobby Allen on the phone. And Bobby Allen was explaining to me how I exist outside the realms of space and time. And the only thing left for me to do was to celebrate. So at the time, I'm like, damn, that's all there is? You celebrate? I mean, to the average person here, if you know, if you walk up to somebody and say, man, the only thing left to do is celebrate, the average person say, celebrate, and at the time, I'm like, yeah, well, I got this going on in my life, that going on in my life, this going on, and that's all there is left for me to do is celebrate. So until you understand your multidimensional nature, you won't understand a comment like that, Minister June. But my question to you is, how important is it for us to understand our multidimensional nature? Because you have people say, on one end, Neville or Bobby would say, listen, man, you're already everything you want to be. What the person will immediately do is to use their brain, and their brain will use logic, and logic will say, I don't have A, I don't have B, I don't have C, I don't have D, and I don't have E. How is that statement correct? If the thought would be correct, because my brain, my logic, my analytical ability just told me I don't have any of those things. So your brain, and it's like a little, you know, you can have with yourself. But it tells you what this person is talking about. But it's like, how do you, deep inside you, is saying, age, right? But I just don't know how to explain it to myself. I want you to explain that process in that inner dialogue we have with ourselves. It's like an inner argument. Can you explore?
Okay, yeah. Interesting. A couple of days ago, I was on Twitter, and I tweeted that David Banner, almost exactly what you said, that, you know, because, you know, we're talking about black people, and we're talking about this condition that black people have left themselves there. So that's the state that we've chosen to be in psychologically. Not knocking it, that's what it is, what it is. So we're going to address that state. We're not going to be able to address it using the mental principles. I don't care what you try to do on that level in this world, you're not going to get to where you need to be against what you're calling your said oppressor. It's not going to happen through that media. You're going to have to go into the realm of the unseen, the realm of the unseen. You have to go into that opposition that we call in astrology, 12th house versus the 6th house, because, you know, Virgo is ruled by Mercury, Pisces is ruled by Neptune, the 12th and 6th house, it's just 180 degrees, they're opposite one another. So when the person is talking to you that way, like, they're operating from the Neptunian plate. Now, you can use it with your mercurial mind and your logic if you awaken to the fact that you're a god in the flesh and that you create your reality through your imagination. That's when it becomes plausible and usable, because you're able to see tangible things show up in your reality from using that gift that you have to reawaken as God in this reality. If you don't use it in that sense, right, then it's always going to seem like a bunch of babble, and you're not going to be able to understand it and or express it. But in this world, if we're going to have any form of revolution, it's going to have to come through the seal on the wheel, which is a 12th house energy and a Neptunian force. That's how this thing is going to move and shape. So if you don't understand it from that level, you're never going to get it. You're going to always be stuck dealing with your rationale and your logic. And like I tell people all the time, when you look at things on this planet, when you know, they got planets that are made of nothing but diamonds. Like, this, what you think is impossible is nothing to the universal field or the universal mind or God or whatever term you want to use. So if we can understand that anything can be created, anything can be created, right? Then we have to say, we have to use Mercury and rational and logic for what it's for. But when it's time to step up and play on the big scale, we have to go Neptunian and be able to create from nothing but and know that everything exists and everything is possible to exist out of that state of awareness. So, you know, that's really the best way that I can answer that, man. You have to know how to use it. You have to know how to create using what Neville would say or Bobby would say is your universal self, your 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th dimensional self. You have to be able to use it plausibly in this reality through the Mercury principle, through these steps, through understanding the function and learning these things, which is a Mercury thing. But outside of that, if you don't apply it, then you'll never understand it. You'll never understand it. Once again, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show, Mr. Ju. At this time, I would like for you to leave your contact information, any your websites, whatever, social media, anything you want to leave for the people to get in contact with you and learn more about you both. Oh, man, I appreciate it, Rich, man. As always, man, beautiful deal with you now. Say thanks again. But to the people out there who's listening, visit me on theneuronnetwork.com and myastrologycoach.com. We got a phenomenal, phenomenal workbook coming out in the next 20 days called the Mystic Brains Workbook, Anatomy 101. We're going to get people acclimated with the brain science so that we can take them into the mystical level. But first, we want you to understand some of the regular functions of the brain so that when we get into the mystical aspect, and how the electricity starts to move in the brain when you start reorganizing your consciousness, how things start to change you in this reality, you're going to have to get that workbook first. So that's first up. So visit the website. With a shop, you'll be able to see it there. Also, visit the website, myastrologycoach.com. We're going to Orlando, Florida for the spring equinox. So get yourself together early. We got plenty of time, but don't wait for the last minute. I mean, plan in advance so that you can be there. It's going to be phenomenal. We're doing the skydive when we get there. We're going to jump out the plane from 11,000 feet up. We're expressing to people, release your fear. You have to let go. Release your fear. Everything that you think you can't do, the limitations, let it go, because that's what's stopping you from imagining the greatest. That's what's stopping you from realizing that I am. You see? So we're stepping into that arena. We're going to do some jet skiing. We're going to do a fire meditation on the beach. It's going to be off the chain. I'm going to be lecturing down there, giving a full-blown imagination workshop. Noble's going to be dealing with the heart and the coherence, the global coherence. And it's going to be called the I Have Workshop, which is an acronym for happiness. Happiness as a virtue empowerment. Come and get you a happiness as a virtue empowerment. We want people to understand that it's all right to be happy. Change your mood, because that should dictate your circumstances. Your circumstance should dictate your mood. So when you learn that, you'll be able to apply it and you'll see your life change for the better. Outside of that, man, that's pretty much it, man. And, you know, just visit the website, man. When you go over to Neuron Network or My Astrology Coach, leave your emails over there. We send out messages every month to stay abreast with us for what we got going on, what we got coming up. And I think that's pretty much it, man. Well, hey, man, once again, thank you, brother, being on the show. You know, this is my love right here, this quantum talk. You know, this heart talk, this feeling talk, you know. When I ask my questions, I make sure I ask them with a certain emotional intention with them so that it's not just a question, a person. I want a person to feel me. I don't want my listeners to hear me. I want them to feel me when I ask my questions. And that way, the interview will go better and things will resonate better with them. So, you know, rewind this, listen to it again. Look up Neville Goddard. You know, that's going to be your name all day. This is where I'm from, Brother Rich Minister Jewel.
baby, back mama, yeah.
Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go.
All of my book back, lady.
Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go.
Zip line back, lady.
Let it go, let it go.
All right. All right, guys. Royalty, 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 guys. All right. So I see I got a caller. So let's go ahead and bring this caller in just to see if you want to chat. If you want to chat with me, I don't know when you came in. But today, the power of emotions, just emotions, period. We started out with Ralph Smart, guys. Ralph Smart was just pretty much just kind of laying the groundwork about emotions and everything that's going on in the world in our now moment. And Minister Jew, this season, guys, is back to the basics, right? So Minister Jew, shout out to him. I'm just to let you guys know, that lecture is about 5 years old. It's a pretty old lecture, you guys. So I don't know if his contact information is up to date, because a lot of people disappeared. You know what I mean? A lot of people disappeared on the sub one that I go to all the time when I feel I have to get my emotions in check, you know, just kind of rebalance. And, you know, we all could use an avenue for rebalance. And this on Spiritual Soul Sunday was my avenue when it came to, or when it comes to, emotions, all right? All right, guys. So I'll go ahead and bring this caller in. Caller 201, did you want to add anything? Or are you just listening? All right. Caller 201, I think, is just listening. All right. Cool. All right, guys. So, yeah. I mean, that's it, you guys. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. But before I wrap this up, you guys, I want I'm an oracle, intuitive oracle reader. Not to be indecisive, but readings. I am open for readings. It really is truly discernment, right? And how I feel about when I will do your reading. You know what I mean? So I'm open to readings right now, but I really don't want to open that back up until next year, because there's a lot going on here in harvest season. And no fear or anything like that. But what I am proud of is that a lot of us are protecting our energy. A lot of us are protecting our emotions. Outside of even protection, but setting boundaries for oneself. So I'm proud of a lot of us for setting boundaries for oneself. We do not have to allow people in our space, especially playing in the spiritual arena, you know, when it comes to these readings, just because we want or we may feel like we need money. Sometimes, guys, that sacrifice that we take in order to get money, we don't really understand or understand what kind of energies we are inviting in, especially now. So, y'all, be very careful on who you allow to your space, especially in the now moment. All right, so I'm open to it. You guys can utilize my link tree in the show notes, guys, if you need to contact me for anything, any show ideas, open for sponsorship, guys, all of that shit. You know what I mean? So fill your spirit. How ironic. I pulled why the podcast was going on. Fill your spirit, all right? Feel your spirit. This card is about movement. It's about your movement. It's about spiritual movement, your awareness, right? You heard what Minister Jew said, to be aware in this time, in the now moment. To be aware is to be truly alive and to truly live, right? So movement, paying attention to the details, right, and using your discernment. And the numerological pool for that is 10. We all know that 10 represents new beginnings, right? So, all right, guys. Join me every weekend. I do have consistency on Spiritual Soul Sunday and Motivational Classroom every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. I came on a little earlier today because I have a few errands to run. Although, guys, I am on at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, here at Enhancing Awareness Radio every weekend. During the week, I may have pop-ups where I do ancestral tea and I do raw rising information, right? So you can check those out. You can also subscribe to Blog Talk. I believe you can subscribe to email subscription there. So, you know, you'll kind of get a glimpse on when I do come on, all right? All right, guys. Well, I enjoy, guys. Again, this season is about back to the basics. I love to sit and learn with you guys, not trying to teach and talk all the fucking time, right? I like to sit back and learn, and, you know, I needed to hear that as well. You know what I mean? So, you know, I am a teacher of spirituality 101, known as, like, the gatekeeper. To lead the way or guide the way, right? Like, okay, you may want to go over there or you may want to go over there. So our Spirituality 101 is the most important class. So that's what this season is about, guys. It's about Spirituality 101 and getting back to the basics. So I'm sharing all of my back to the basics lectures or articles or what have you in order to, you know, help you through. You know what I mean? All right, guys. I enjoyed y'all. Thank you for listening. Thanks for everybody that came through. Join me every weekend again at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. And until next time, guys, you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday weekend, however you choose to celebrate it. You know, it's about go where the love is. Go where the love is felt, not love is more than a verb, right? So go where the love is felt. Go where you're celebrated. Go where you can feel where you appreciate it. Love is more than verbiage. All right, guys. Peace.
about myself. To remind me of love, I've got my mind and my heart, yeah. And I believe in above and these happy feelings.
These are happy feelings.
I'll spread